We're going to read from a psalm this morning. I'm doing a lot of psalms, I'm realizing, but, you know, I once took a really good course on psalms, and so maybe that's just coming out now. Psalm chapter 30, if you want to turn there with me, Psalm 30, and we'll read this together. I'm there. Yeah, so let's just read this to start. A psalm, a song for the dedication of the temple of David. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I'm silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothed me with joy that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. What a great psalm. I'm just going to grab my water real quick because I can feel my mouth drying out a little bit. I should have brought it up right away. About singing and then preaching right after. It's a different scenario. So tomorrow's Thanksgiving, or today, I don't know, it's just a weekend, right? And so I thought, you know, I should probably preach on something about Thanksgiving, because it's a great theme. The title today, I guess, is Beyond Thanksgiving, if you're taking notes. I got a title, Chris, that's pretty good for me. Beyond Thanksgiving. So our psalm has to do with giving thanks to God, but it also expands that, I think, into kind of this broader response. Sometimes we can say thanks. We say thanks all the time, right? Our two-year-old says thanks, thank you, and it's very cute. But it's something we just say a lot, and so what are we actually doing? And so I think the way David responds to what God has done in thanksgiving and in praise kind of expands this. It says, oh yeah, this is a way I can respond in thanks to God. So it's a psalm of David, and kind of in the middle of it, and so I'm going to skip to the middle. There's this description of this trouble that David has been in. So he describes a season of his life when he felt really secure. And it's not necessarily a season where he's like arrogant, you know, like I'm just trusting myself, I'm not trusting God. In fact, he says it's a season when God favored him. But he felt secure. There was some stability in his life, and he felt God's favor on his life. And then that stability was taken away, and David began to suffer. And suffer quite greatly. In the Psalms, there's kind of there's these three sufferings that you see over and over and over. The first is physical suffering, and David says he's like despairing of his life. He thinks he's like about to die, and then he says, God healed me. So there's this physical suffering. And then the second suffering is the suffering from other people. He talks about his enemies taunting him. Man, that's brutal, right? You see it in all through the Psalms, where there's suffering, and then these people are taunting me on top of that. And then the third is the biggest suffering of all of them that David feels. He says, and you hid your face from me, God. That deepest suffering of, hey, I'm suffering physically, I'm suffering from people, but the worst of it all is it feels like God has turned away. I don't have his favor on my life anymore. And so he's in this deep, deep suffering. But the psalm isn't mostly about that suffering. The psalm, it just looks back on that for a little bit, but mostly what it's about is that God delivered him from the suffering. That God saw David when he was suffering, and he reached down into that pit he was in and brought him up. And you see that at the very beginning. I forgot to put this on the slides, but anyway, just the very beginning and the very end. The first verse says, I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. And then the last two verses say, "You turn my wailing into dancing, you remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever." So this kind of bookend shows us kind of the main points. And there's two main points. One is that God has saved David and saved him from this horrible, dark place of suffering and brought him into this beautiful, amazing place where David says, you know, I'm dancing for joy. You've totally transformed, so it's total transformation from suffering to this place of joy. And then the second part in both of these, the beginning and the end of the psalm, the thing that they highlight is that in response then, David is going to praise God. David is going to praise God. And what is that response of praise? It's more than just saying, "Thanks, God, you know, appreciate it." There's this word, yada, and I should have gotten a slide with the nice little Hebrew letters, but I didn't. It's yada, and it's translated praise in the version I just read, which is the NIV, but in some other editions of the NIV, early editions, and in a lot of other translations, it's translated as give thanks. I thought it would be rude if I got my phone out and tried to check what word that was in the passage you were reading. But it might could very well be the same thing. This idea of giving thanks, but it's maybe something more than we think when we think about Thanksgiving. It's not necessarily just thanks you God, thanks for rescuing me from this trouble I was in. I really appreciate that. Thank you. If you look at verse 9, there's kind of a clue here. David's remembering when he was in this mess, and he thought he was going to die, and he says this. He says, "What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you?" That's that word, yada. "Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness?" So there's this parallel between that word, yada, and this idea of proclamation or declaration. So it's this thanksgiving, but it's a thanksgiving that speaks out, that praises in front of other people. It's thanksgiving in front of other people. Klaus Westermann was an Old Testament scholar, and he wrote this book on the Psalms, Praise and Lament in the Psalms, and he writes this. He says, "We're compelled to imagine a world where the opposite role of petition is not primarily thanks, but praise. And this praise is a stronger, more lively, broader concept, which includes our thanks in it." So you see that, right? So David's petitioning God. He's saying, "God, help me." And then when God does and he rescues him up and he turns his mourning into dancing, what's David's response? It's not just saying, "Thanks, God." It's actually bursting forth in praise, praising God, singing it out, saying thank you in front of other people. It's like this. There's a family in our church, and I won't mention their names because I don't want to embarrass anyone from up here. But there's a family at our church who invited us over for dinner this week, and that was very sweet. And then for a number of reasons, we had to postpone it. But they just brought us the halibut that they thought and said, "Well, here, take the halibut anyway." And so we got a meal out of that, and it was really tasty. And so I could just thank them for that on the phone and in person, like I did, or I could thank them in front of the whole church here, and tell them tell you all about what they did, and then I could say and also, you know, since we've moved up here in January, this family's been just generous. They've given us stuff over and over, and have cared for us. And then I could just say, "Hey," and then everyone just stand up and give them a big round of applause, right? And I won't do that again because I don't want to embarrass anyone. But maybe that's inappropriate for people, but it is appropriate kind of thanksgiving for God. It's more than what we think of thanksgiving. Maybe it's praise, and it's how David says. It's what David says. You know, God, because you rescued me, because I have this testimony of what you've done in my life, I'm not just going to privately thank you, but I'm going to praise you in front of people and say, "Hey, this is what God has done." I don't know if you noticed. The heading of this psalm, I thought it was super interesting. It says, it's a song to be sung at the dedication of the temple. And so when I see that, I start to read, I think, okay, there's probably going to be, you know, it's probably going to be like, we'll enter your gates with thanksgiving or something like that, right? These kind of temple images. But there's none of that. It's just this personal testimony of an individual being rescued by God and his response of praise. So how do we get to this temple dedication, this big event? How does this song get there? I think it's because of this idea of praise in response to what God has done. It's like this thanksgiving and praise. It starts very personal, but it's the kind of praise that ripples outward and outward and outward. David commits from the very start to praise and exalt God. This idea of exalting, of lifting up high. He says in verse 1, I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths. And it's not like God needs a boost. Actually, there's that picture there of David as actually the one who's down in the pit needing to be lifted up. But in response to God, what God has done for David, David says, I'm going to lift you up, not giving you a boost, but exalting you, lifting you up, making much of you in the hearts and the minds of the people around me. And so David's praise and exaltation, exalting God, is seen in practice, actually, in this psalm, as he calls everyone who trusts in God and follows him to join with him in praise. And that's in verses 4 and 5, which I'll read again. He says, sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. So David says his experience isn't just a private thing. It actually represents who God is, so it's relevant for everyone. And so he declares to God's faithful people that not only has God delivered him, not only has God lifted him up from the pit, but it's also more generally true about God, that his anger is brief, but his favor is enduring. It's also more generally true that weeping might come and have a sleepover, but in the morning there's rejoicing, there's shouts of joy. And so he calls people into his praise. He begins with this personal testimony of how God rescued him, but he lets it ripple out from him and out from him and out from him and calls other people into praise until you can picture this big celebration of the dedication of the temple and all these people joining him in praise to the same God. So that's basically it this morning. That's what I'd just like to call us into, to engage in this kind of praise. On Thanksgiving weekend, not just to give thanks, but to engage in this praise that ripples out. And some of you guys are really good at it, and I noticed that. Through my week, I often hear people not just thanking God personally, but telling me and telling other people about what God has done for them that week. So some of you, you've got it or whatever. But it's encouraging when people do this, isn't it? I was raised in a Christian home. I was always a relatively good kid. Heard the gospel at all the VBSs and everything. And so when someone gets up who didn't have that life and says, hey, I heard the gospel for the first time when I was 27 or whatever, and they share that testimony, how it changed their life. Well, for me, coming from that's really powerful for me because I didn't have that same experience, and so I can let that praise ripple onto me and say, wow, God, you're so good. Look what you've done, and that's actually what you've done for me, even though it's harder to see it maybe from my perspective. But as I hear others praising God, wow, that's who God is. That's what God has done for me. Praise God. I've shared this before. I've had this intestinal disease, Crohn's disease, since I was about 13. Lots of prayer for healing through the years, lots and lots, and haven't been healed. But as I hear stories from other people of God doing these miraculous healing, I say, yeah, you know what? That is the God where weeping might last the night, but joy comes in the morning. It's his, it, yeah. And so as others share and praise and let the praise ripple out, it encourages us, and it also brings us into praise of God, who's worthy of our praise. And so some of us are good at this, and some of us maybe aren't as good at this. And for one reason or another, we're nervous to praise God in front of other people. We'll thank him privately, but we kind of want to leave it there. In the summer of 2019, I was taking a course on the Book of Psalms, and I was recovering from surgery at the same time. And the problem was I wasn't recovering very well from surgery, and so I had to keep going back into the hospital, and then I'd be discharged, and then I had to go back a few days later. But at the same time, I'm studying this course on the Book of Psalms, and we did the week intensive of classes, and then I was writing papers and doing all the reading after. And my studies told me that psalmists were really good at this praise stuff, and that they were also really good at lament. And they were actually really okay with just going back and forth and back and forth. And what I kind of wanted to do was just, you know, wait till I was totally out of the woods and everything was totally settled, and I was totally convinced that I wasn't going to go back to the hospital anymore, and then I'd praise God, you know. But I had to learn, and was convicted as I was reading that, hey, actually, no, even before I'm out of the woods, every good thing that God has done, I want to let that thanksgiving and praise ripple out and call others into it. And so I got to, kind of in the middle of the woods, we had a sharing Sunday at my last church. We did that every once in a while, where people could just share testimonies. And so I got to share in the middle of it. And then later, I did have a chance to share, and I better do this morning, because this is what I'm talking about how after 3 months of this back and forth into this hospital, back and forth, in and out, in and out, in and out, we had this vacation planned for the end of August, and we're like, oh, we're just totally drained in every way. We're like, God, you know, please, we've been praying and praying and praying, and we're like, okay, we'll just go, and we'll see. Yeah, see how much of this we can get. We had 2 weeks planned, and so we went on Vancouver Island, and then we did the whole thing, and that was the last... That was the last trip to the hospital for like emergency like that, and it was amazing. And we thought there wasn't really much explanation except we'd been praying, and God answered us. So yeah, let the praise ripple out. So that was me. You know, that's why I struggled with, and I don't know what it might be for you. Maybe you're like me. You don't want to commit yourself to a miracle too soon. Maybe you're just kind of introverted and you just don't really like talking a lot. And so talking to other people about what God has done is just uncomfortable. Maybe you don't want to be disappointed. Or maybe you just don't want to sound obnoxious or boastful. You're like, hey, look what God. I don't know. I don't know what it is for you that could hold you back from this kind of praise that ripples out. But on Thanksgiving weekend, I'd encourage you to think of what you're thankful for to God. And if you're in a family like I was raised in, that's not going to be hard, because your mom's going to get everyone around the table and say, hey, everyone say one thing you're thankful for. But as you think of these things that you're thankful to God for through your life, my encouragement would be to praise God in front of other people. It might be awkward, but he deserves it, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. So that's the encouragement this morning, to let that testimony and praise ripple out, encouraging others and exalting God. Why don't we pray as we close? Lord, I think again of that song we were just singing. You are the way maker and the miracle worker and the promise keeper, the light in the darkness. And these are these general statements we make about you. This is who you are. This is part of your character, God. But it comes from these thousands and thousands of personal stories of, hey, this is how God made a way for me. This is how God worked a miracle for me. This is how God shone light into my darkness. And these accumulate and rise up. And so, God, we just say this morning that you're worthy of praise. You're worthy of being lifted up and exalted in our minds and hearts. And we pray that, even just from this morning, that we would not only just give thanks to you privately, but we let that thanksgiving, that praise ripple out, and you'd be lifted out and known better. And we worship you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.